Okay, so our burning question of the day is fake news, fake faith, who can we trust? Well, often we all get let down, don't we? And we have to come to terms with being disappointed again. Sometimes our expectations of others are just too high. Maybe we ought to consider that. Although there are some people in positions of such great responsibility that surely our expectations of them can't be faulty. As we learnt from Spider-Man, although actually the quote is originally from Voltaire, with great power comes great responsibility. I wonder, you know, if in another 50 years, if anybody will ever remember that this was Voltaire who said this. And no, it was Spider-Man. That was actually Spider-Man's uncle, but there you go. Our society, though, has moderated this statement to exclude our private lives. So we can have a president or a prime minister who is an adulterer, a liar, a cheat, and yet we trust them with our freedom. However, personally, I still like the old adage that an unfaithful man is unfaithful in all he does. Public trust has been eroded in our media, in our governments, in our political system, in public bodies, in some of our heroes, in celebrities, and in the church. Public trust is at an all-time low. Currently, the world is debating whether or not to delete Michael Jackson from Spotify and all the different ways we access music because it would appear that he was a bad man. But does it spoil his art is the question that is going round. Well, we excluded Gary Glitter, so do we exclude Michael Jackson? I don't have the answer to that. But public trust is at an all-time low. Bad news about our nation is delivered to us when there are other headlines to obscure the message. Good news is hidden by those who don't benefit from it. In a country that once was proud of its standards of integrity and honesty, now corruption has become a problem, and truth is relative. You know, all of these people that we see on the media, however big their smiles, or in Mr. Corbyn's case, however absent his smile, these people are not widely trusted. Even though Mrs. May is our Prime Minister, her trust level is not... That was a good point, actually. Yeah, I took that. Our trust level in her is remarkably low. This picture of two people that I hope you all remember that reminds us of a certain Clintonism. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Do you remember that? It has become the excuse of our age. Many politicians hate lying. But that's not because of their morals. It's because they know they are likely to get caught out if they do. So they often prefer, as one of Margaret Thatcher's cabinet secretaries memorably put it, to simply be economical with the truth in a crisis. Over the years, the established church hasn't helped itself in some ways. And the media continually tells us that the church is hiding paedophiles and ridicules its teaching to undermine the millions of people it helps each year. Of course, we might also say that some church groups have been very slow to police themselves, feeling that they could handle things themselves, and in doing so, have ignored the law of the land. Then, of course, we occasionally see groups that call themselves a church, but have different agendas and don't even represent the traditional faith of God's people. We see men and women who find power over other people that they seek in the church and use it to feather their own nests. Over the years, I've often found myself returning to this old classic book by Richard Foster called Money, Sex and Power. In this book, he describes how that all organisations have flawed people in them, and these three drivers dominate their lives. That all of them, all of these three drivers, money, sex and power, are denounced by Jesus for having the driving seat in our lives. He calls his church today, as he always has done, to be servants of everyone and to demonstrate true sacrificial love. The media loves to show the church up when it falls in one of these three areas. And in a way, you really can't blame them. If we set ourselves up to teach one thing and yet do another, a higher standard is expected of us. In an age when the general public are feeling that they can't trust the main political parties, there is an opportunity for the far left and the far right groups to gain a foothold. We're seeing this all over Europe, and we're seeing elements of it in our country. I trust that all moderate people would abhor this. But it is the bad behaviour of those centrist parties that has contributed to the problem. It has made people look elsewhere. In a day when we feel we can't trust the government or the opposition, when we can't trust the police or the protesters, when we can't trust the BBC or Sky News, surely we ought to at least be able to trust the church. Unfortunately, it is at times like this that corrupt people sneak in the church and make their voice loud and enticing. It says that one of the half-brothers of Jesus, Jude, he wrote, "Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write and exhort you to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. For certain men and women who were designated for this judgment long ago have come in by stealth. They are ungodly, turning the grace of our God into promiscuity and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Surely all Christians disagree with each other. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Catholics and Protestants, Baptists and Methodists, Pentecostals and New Church. We wouldn't have all these many, many differences. In the UK, there are 39 denominations registered with churches together in England, although I am told there are 5,000 in America. The reality is that this is really fake news. The different denominations of the Christian church may have different styles, a desire to connect with contemporary music or classical music or simply the sounds of a different era. But these days you can see Baptists meeting with Anglican, with Pentecostal, with New Church, with Methodists, with Catholics. Because in general, Christians do indeed get on with each other. Gather, which is an arm of the Evangelical Alliance in the UK, has been monitoring a new move in our nation of Christian leaders meeting together to pray for their cities and towns and nation. It's something that is definitely happening. We can prove it. It's a reality in our nation. Finding a church you can depend on is very simple. Look for the use of the creeds. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying look for a church where they recite the creeds. What I'm saying is look for a church that believes the creeds, that have it in their statement of belief, that live out the creeds. Because the creeds are an early church summary of Christian belief. The Apostles' Creed goes back to the first century. We can prove that into something like AD 60-70. We can prove it was used in those days. And the Nicene Creed, which you see on the screen, was a summary of creeds that was which was written down for the first time in AD 325. And it became a statement of the widely held view which is still recognised today. And I don't know a church in York off the top of my head that is a good church, that is an accurate representation of the body of Christ, that doesn't hold to the Nicene creeds. If you go to a church that doesn't accept the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, fundamentally it isn't Christian. If it doesn't accept that Jesus is the Son of God and God's Christ, then it can hardly be Christian. If it doesn't embrace the Bible as the Word of God, then it isn't authentic. If it seems obsessed with weird sideshows but talks little about Jesus, then walk away. There is an old saying, taste and see. And if it leaves a bitter aftertaste, it may not even have God in it, and it certainly may not be safe to get involved. Above anything else, look for a church that is really having an impact on the community it serves, and where would you, and a church where you would want to be part of. Don't accept fake ideas or fake egos. Don't accept churches that know better than other churches, that have a special revelation, and elevate their leaders above the norm. Just like there are few paedophiles in the church, there are few defective groups that call themselves church. We shouldn't get this out of perspective. It's a problem, but it isn't everywhere. What we should do with both situations is do our best to out them and never ever cover up for them. So just who can you trust? Dare I say God? Dare I say the people of God? Rather than fake church people. There have always been hangers-on in the church. Always people living at the periphery. People who like the company but don't uphold its beliefs. Those who like its traditions but don't have a relationship. These are not yet believers. Or people who are just looking in. Or possibly even fake Christians. If you've had a poor experience of church, or being disappointed with people who claim to be Christian, then don't blame us all for the minority. Give us a chance. Because you can find a truthful message that you can develop trust in. And a God that you can depend on if you will try him out. When I was 10 years old, I remember my first pastor telling me, "Don't just believe what I say. Go home and check your Bible for yourself." Something that I did then, and I still do today, even when I'm preaching. My suggestion is that you have a problem. If you have a problem, is take it up with God. Try praying. There are some free booklets at the back that say try praying on them if you want to take one away, that give you an idea of how you could pray simple prayers every day for a week, and that's as far as it goes. You know, try listening to God with your Bible open. Wait for an answer. Learning how to do that may not be instant, because God is looking for relationship. He isn't a Buddha that you should rub his tummy, or a jar of Nescafe that is instant, but he is worth getting to know. How can we trust God? Listen to the stories told by those who themselves have trusted God and not found him lacking. It is not that we were brought up in church and so it is meaningless to us, but most of us were outside the church and we chose to come in and follow Jesus. Many of us have been through the mill in life and suffered all sorts of stuff like you, but found that there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. Above anything else, you can trust the Bible. We have got copies of the Bible that go back to the second century, and they are no different to the copies that we use today. Have you ever been in a situation where you were afraid? I have. But when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will trust. I will not fear. On the American dollar, it still says, "In God we trust." Even though, as a nation, perhaps that could be, nothing could be further from the truth. Is your hope a wild finger crossing exercise? Have you forgotten what it even is to have a hope? Have you forgotten what it is to see goodness in the land of the living? Then turn your hope towards God. To God, who is himself the giver of hope and the fulfiller of all that is hoped for. Without hope, we would trust no one. Let me ask you a question. How can you trust a policeman when we all know there are corrupt ones? How can you trust a GP when we all remember Harold Shipman? How can we trust a Catholic priest when we know that a minority of them are paedophiles? Can you ever trust a man again after that man who claimed he loved you but treated you with such violence? If we tar everyone with these brushes, there would be no one ever left to trust. Trust does have to be earned, but you have to take a chance to let anyone prove they are worthy of your trust. From time to time, I as a person have been incredibly impressed with policemen, with the medical profession, and with Catholic priests. You know, can we put our trust in the government? Can we even put our trust in our families? The Bible says it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Over the years, I have been stabbed in the back, betrayed, had lies told about me, all the sorts of behaviour that could put me off people for life. But I have chosen a job that puts me in front of people's faces every day of the week. That doesn't mean that I've become a soft touch or that I am naive about people's motives. But it does mean that I would rather risk being hurt again than to miss out on interaction with someone who is genuinely seeking help or seeking God. I have met people who say to me, "Stephen, it's all right for you, but I could never trust again." Well, let me tell you something. It is all right for me. And if you choose, like I have chosen, then it will be all right for you as well. Yes, my friends, it comes down to our decision. You can choose to trust again. But if you don't, you may miss out on so much. I am the first person to admit that I have made mistakes. It usually happens when I open my mouth. I also admit that the wider church has made mistakes. But God has forgiven me. But will you? I want to suggest to you today that we need to realize there is one person who will not let us down. He isn't visible, but you can feel his presence. He isn't someone that will reveal himself to you with glowing embers of light and huge wings. He is simply God who wants to walk through life with you. Pilgrim's Progress talks about the journey of one man through life. And being a pilgrim has become to have that meaning in life. The pilgrimage is walking through life. And I want to suggest to you that giving God a try for company is actually really effective. Trust God. He is dependable. And he gave his only son to make peace between the two of you. Between you and God. He gave his son to allow a relationship to be built. To allow a bridge to be built between you. There is this wonderful verse in the Bible that says, those who trust in the Lord will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. Trusting God is a renewing place. A place where your strength is rebuilt. A place of hope. And a place of joy. You can trust God. It's safe. Could we just pray together? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, who you gave for us. Father, we thank you that although we are a distrustful people in a distrustful world, and although we have some reason to be like that, we thank you that you stand there with arms open, ready to receive us and embrace us as sons and daughters. Father, we ask that today you would draw near to each of us and help us to recognize just how much you love and care for us, and help us to begin a pilgrimage that takes us through life, experiencing the truth of God rather than the fake news of man. Help us, Father, to always love you and to appreciate your goodness and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.